that freedom that they have in Christ. That's what part of our job is, and we do that not with some type of undue pressure on ourselves as if we have the power to set them free, but we do that with the truth of the other part of the season. He is truth is marching on. He is marching on. He is the one doing the work. He is the one calling out for all people, a people for himself, a people for his inheritance. And just a little bit, a little later in our service this morning, we're going to get to commission our next mission team out of this church as they go to do that very thing. They go with the understanding that God is marching on to set people free from bondage, that there's lost people all around the world. I have mentioned this already since I've been back from the subscription. I heard it in my mental work this week, but I'm not sure anybody had it. But one of the key things that I was reminded of, and sometimes mentioned that we all need to be reminded of, and God's word reminds us, is that the world's greatest problem is lostness. It's the greatest problem that any family faces. It's the greatest problem that our neighbors face. It's the greatest problem that children in our city face. It's the greatest problem around the world. It's lostness. And God is marching on. His word to be a part of what he is doing, and that brings us to Psalm 96. Because as Julianne mentioned to our children this morning, is that God's word, and especially specifically this morning, Psalm 96, calls us to praise God, calls us to worship him, but doesn't call us to that as an end of itself. It doesn't end with praise the Lord, all the earth, praise his name. It goes from there to encourage us, or should I say command us, to then share of that goodness with those around us. Now, you've heard me say it often from this pulpit, and some of the my favorite ones, so I think we're going to fix it right, and it's going to stick in there eventually. You've heard me say this quote that numerous times over the past few books from John Lennon. Missions exist because worship does. Missions exist. The very reason that there is a need and a necessity for us as God's people to go on mission is because there are people around the world for whom God desires their worship. God seeks their worship, and worship doesn't exist in those places or amongst those people. Because worship doesn't exist, missions. Survey every knee bowed, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, and you have what there will be in heaven. Missions. There's a book by a guy named Mark Cahill. The book is "The One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven." I'll just use the world book. Need for evangelism, there'll be no need for bishops. But until that day, until worship, the worship of God covers the entire earth, missions is necessary. But here's what this psalm helps me see the most. What I hope this morning as we study together, here's what I hope you will see as well, is that worship is not only the goal of missions. Worship is the goal of missions, the goal of missions so that worship is not only the goal of missions, but worship is the fuel of missions. So our sermon title today is along with it's on those handouts that were at the bulletins of worship guide, so I hope you grab one. But if not, here's our sermon title this morning: Worship, the fuel and goal of ministry to our neighbors and of missions to nations. Worship is the fuel. It's the thing that propels us and fuels us, and it is the goal. It's what we're working towards as we minister to our neighbors and as we go on mission to the nations. So here's what I hope you'll see in this song, and then we'll jump into this. There's this pattern us to proclaim, and then it's again it circles back to worship as well. Worship, degree, worship. Worship feels it, tell something, worship. And so this song, we'll see three declarations that we want to make as a people of God. We'll see three declarations that God has commanded us to go out and to declare to our neighbors day by day and to the nations. These are the things that as we send this team out, as we commission them today and they go out next Sunday, that they will be declaring to the people which they will encounter three decrees that ought to be on our hearts. The first is this. We declare God is greater than as God's people, we are called, commanded to declare to the world that the one true God, the God of the Bible, this almighty creator God, is greater than all other false gods. Look at me in Psalm 96, starting in verse 1. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. I gave that heads up about the pattern because you saw it, right? How does it start? Sing a new song to the Lord. Sing to the Lord. Sing and bless His name. And that's what we've just been doing. That's the purpose for which we gather. Sunday after Sunday, Lord's Day after Lord's Day, regardless of what goes on here with me, regardless of what other things we could be doing at this time, regardless of other commitments or activities, we gather week after week, surrounding the Word of God to worship the one true God. We sing new songs. We bless His name. This is our time to get filled up. It's the worship service for us. For God's people together to be filled. As we worship the true God, as we hear Him through His Word. We worship Him. That is the command. And we sing it there at the beginning. Sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord. Bless His name. But then here's the call. We don't stop there. That's not the end. All right, sing to the Lord. Bless His name. All right, you're good to go. See you next week so we can sing and bless Him again. Continue on there with verse 2. Tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations. It's been all His words. You see, this passage is about missions. That's real clear, right? To declare His glory among the nations to all peoples. But you know, this passage is also about our neighbors. It's also about the person you bump into, the grocery store, your coworker, your boss, your classmate. It's about your teammate. It's about your kids and your grandkids. It's about your parents and your grandparents. Because we're called to tell of His salvation from day to day. We can't go to all the nations day to day. We can go every day to all the nations. But where are we day by day to tell of the salvation? And the answer is all of those places I just mentioned. In your home, at your workplace, at the school, at your classroom, at your elementary school, at your college, to your employees and to your bosses. We tell us salvation day by day to our neighbors, and also, it's not a word, but it's an and declares the glory among the nations. It's all those words are also all. And we see what we're called to declare in those places. We're called to declare, verse 4, that the Lord is great, and He is greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, verse 5, from all the gods of the people. Song that fits the words there. Maybe people like much of students at PBS this week that were sharing the gospel and talking them through what it means to respond to that. I shared with them that your faith is only as good as the object on which you place it. Your faith, the strength of your faith, has nothing to do with how much faith you have. The strength of your faith has to do with the thing you're putting your faith in. I talked to the students about the TV show, is it fake? Right? Or is basketball? And there's another thing that looks like a basketball talks on part of this game. It's the popular thing. Some of you look at it, it's just Google, it's pretty fascinating. Okay? It's genuinely fascinating, but it's hard to tell them apart. Like, these cakes are made so realistically, so they're having to test it, have to decide which one's the real basketball and which one's the cake. And you can have all the faith in the world, this one is cake. If you take a big old bite and it's a basketball, that faith can't be any good, right? Because the object of your faith wasn't what it said it was. Or if you take the cake, it's a good prize. Either way, you got faith. And there are men and women around the world who have all the faith in the world inside of themselves. They have mustered up every ounce of faith that they can. But the object of their faith is Christ. And it's not going to give them anywhere in this life or life. And it is our jobs, brothers and sisters, to declare day by day and amongst the nations that God is far superior to any false hope. These gods, you don't have to think of idols. So here we leave this idea of autonomy on the mission trip. We walk in and autonomy to testify. We walk in the IRB and there's like a little statue of idol, false god thing, just like right there next to the TV. Okay? We have a place here, you know. But the point being, that's often what we think about. We think about false gods or idols. We think of these like statues. These are, but it's anything that we put in our life. We all have an order of affections in our hearts. The love of God, we have it's an idol in our lives. And idols can be big things like family. It's not the love of family here, but they overtake the place of God in our lives. God is far superior than all false gods. We know that as His people, it's our job to declare that goodness to the world. Number two, we declare God as worthy of our full devotion. So as we're day by day telling people of His salvation, as we're going to the nations and to all the peoples, we're telling them that God is greater than these false gods. We tell them that He is worthy of our full devotion. Verses 7 through 9. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory in His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Worship the Lord in splendor of holiness. Tremble before Him above the earth. Again, we ascribe to the Lord all the peoples what's true about Him. We worship Him. And then, we don't just worship Him in our words, we don't just ascribe to Him as we speak, and that's the end of it. We don't just tell people, call out to the Lord and you're saved, and then what you do doesn't matter. It's not good to go. You got your fire insurance, you're getting out of hell for the Lord, right? You got all that taken care of. No, we're called here. Bring an offering and come into His courts. There's a call to physical action along with talking the talk. We praise His name and we are fully devoted to Him in our lives. We come into His courts. We gather with His people to worship. We bring offerings. We show our devotion to Him. And we tell the world He is worthy of our full devotion, not partial attention, not partial devotion. And then we follow that worship. Number three, we see this.
is our third declaration. Not only did we declare God is greater than he is God's, not only did we declare God is more than God's declaration, but thirdly, we declare God is coming to judge the living and the dead. Look at verses 10 through 14. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exalt and everything in it. And shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord. For he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the people in his peace. And the servants are very out of worship. Say among the nations, though the Lord reigns. Worshiping God is true, but then there's something we need to let the world know. There's something we need to let our neighbors and the nations know. That is that God is coming to judge. God is coming to judge. In the verse 13 there, he's going to judge the world in righteousness and the people in his peace. We go to a lost and dying world, not only to tell them that God is superior to their work, their idols, and their false gods. Not only to tell them that he is worthy of their full devotion, but to tell them that there's a day coming of judgment. That he is coming again to judge the living and the dead. He's coming again to judge in righteousness and faithfulness. And the only way to stand before that righteous judge and not to take on the wrath that is due us and due our neighbors and due the nations is by being found in Christ. It's the only way to avoid the judgment. It's the only way to avoid the fullness of God's wrath that is due to us. And that's not because of anything that we've done. It's because of Psalm 22 that we looked at last week. Because Jesus hung on the cross and said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was forsaken. We'll recap from last week. He was forsaken so that we don't. There's a large portion of our neighbors here in Southland, a large portion of the world has no idea that that judgment is coming their way. I heard an atheist say one time, an atheist comedian say one time, how bad do you have to hate someone to believe that God is coming with judgment on them? See, this comedian that shows for years, even decades, and one day a Christian comes from after a show and shows for the first time. This comedian said, I'm sure that I've had Christians in my shows. I'm sure that there have been Christians there. Why was this the first person that ever come to tell me that they believed I was going to hell, that I was separated from God, and that I needed Jesus? I said, how bad can you think so? If you believe this is true, sisters, we believe that God's word is true. We believe that he is coming to judge equity, righteousness, and faithfulness. We want to want our neighbors and our nations to know this is true. We ought to want them to worship the one true God who wants their worship. That's what we've seen here in Psalm 96. He wants their worship. Here is where I full circle this week. We are not fearful of this task. I think it shows a direct link between our lack of personal worship and our lack of ministry worship. Because we must first be fueled up by the worship of God as he has called us to before we can declare these truths to a lost and dying world, so that they might worship. If you are not worshiping, you are likely not ministering to your neighbor. If you are not worshiping, you are likely not going to the nations. If you have a desire to be useful to the community, I want you to be with me on the nations. If you worship, you must be. You must humble the genius being in my neighborhood. I want you to be with me in my workplace. I want you to be with me suggest to you that that desire to be used by God is a good thing, and the fuel you need to bring about is a vibrant, personal, worshipful relationship with God. Start there. First, let me say that as we stand and sing, this is an opportunity to describe what it is that God is calling you to. If you've ever been tempted, maybe your faith is in some of these worthless false idols out there. You need to turn your faith and worship and worship God. I would love to talk with you. And you desire to be used by God to worship by your personal relationship with Him is lacking. Let's thank you that you can get it. Baptism or church membership. I'd love to talk to you about those good news. That's right. Whatever it is, God's with you. I'll be for you this morning. Let's stand for peace. Lord, we are thankful for the goodness that you've shown us in Jesus. I pray now that the Spirit will speak to us. That our hearts would be our hearts of worship. Help us to do that.